Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
you can bring your chip, your dip, and whatever you want to sip.
Hallelujah. Your latte, your OJ, your water beverages, and just allow me to minister the divine word of truth, hallelujah, into your heart on this evening. Hallelujah. And so I just thank all of my loyal, continued faithful listeners that continually to tune in and keep up with the latest program or programming of this podcast. God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. You know, God said in his word that he loves a cheerful giver. And you might say, Overseer Ward, I haven't given you any currency. I haven't did anything. But if you share your time, if you've taken out your time in your busy night, your busy evening, your busy morning, wherever you are planted on this earth on tonight, then you've given. It's not always money. We know money, it takes money to survive, as I have always first stated when I come on live air. It takes money. You know it takes money to run your own household. So it takes money. But I'm not asking for any money. I'm just asking for your ear. I'm asking for a listening ear. I'm asking for somebody that's hungry for the divine word of God on tonight. That's who I'm looking for. And so if you are that person, we welcome you on tonight. Hallelujah, we welcome you. And we just thank you once again, all of my loyal and faithful continual listeners that has been with this program from its early beginnings up until this very moment. May God richly bless you, 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 and you. And as I first stated, I want to welcome all of you. I want to welcome my guests. I want to welcome my friends, I want to welcome my business colleagues. I want to welcome the first-time listeners. I want to welcome the Kingdom Assembly individuals. I want to welcome my kinship family. And so I'm trying not to leave anybody out. So I'm welcoming all of you that are in attendance on today. I have the chat room up and available for your sitting and your listening pleasure, and may God richly bless you, is my prayer. All right, we're going to go into now our opening prayer, and we do that to acknowledge Jesus, because God tells us to, in all that we do, acknowledge him, and he shall direct yours and mine's and our path. We know without God's guidance, we are just like a ship without a sail. We're just like a train wreck. Hallelujah. We're just like something that's thrown under the bus. But when we include Jesus in every area of our lives, we can never go wrong. We can never get off the steered road of righteousness, of doing things the proper way that God would want us to do them. And so I want to go down in prayer. This is our opening prayer to acknowledge God for allowing us this opportunity, this stage, this podium, in which to preach his divine word of God. So I'm asking you once again to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in our opening prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to assemble, God, once again. Hallelujah, you said in your word, God, that you went away, and that you went away to prepare a place for us. And upon your return, hallelujah, you would receive us unto yourself. Father God, until that time is upon us, we will continue in your way. We will continue moving upward and onward in your way and in your will. And Father God, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. Father God, we know we're just travelers because those that are looking for an eternal home, we know that this place is just a temporary layover. And we know that when Jesus cracked those clouds one historical day, we will meet him and all the saints and the angelic angels will be with him. And God, I just want you to anoint these lips of clay on tonight. I want you to enable me to bring a real word, God, to those that may not know of you. in the pardons of them their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement. Hallelujah. And I want to touch those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the church say amen and amen. All right. So now that we've got that behind us, we're going to take you right now. Let me turn my noise down because I want you to hear me. We got a time for that. But right now, I want you to hear me. And so we're going to take you right now on into a live program, hallelujah, that is already in progression. And we're going to go on and jump right on into our scripture on tonight and our theme. And it's entitled that Jesus is unique in all the world. I want to say that one more time. Our tonight's sermon, our theme, entitled Jesus is unique in all the world. And you might say, Overseer Ward, how is Jesus unique in all the world? Well, Jesus is unique, number one, because he is an omnipotent force. So that means that he is a power surge. He is a powerhouse, power, adrenaline it expels from just his presence. Hallelujah. Just his presence. And so we know that Jesus is unique because Jesus went to Calvary Mountain, Golgotha's Mountain, over 2,000 light years ago. And it had to be an individual that meet these criteria. First, it had to be spotless, had to be blameless and sinless. God was all three. God did not come into sin like you and I was birthed into sin, but God was sent. I mean, Jesus was sent through God. And so Jesus, they put nails in his hands and in his feet, and then they placed the crowns of thorns upon his head, and that crown had sharp branches, just like a knife almost, but you know, just like a sharp stickle bug, they call them. You know, in the summertime, you get sticker bugs in your grass, you know, and if you're not wearing your proper shoes or slippers or whatever, and you accidentally step on that, it will go into your skin, and you would have to have some tweezers or maybe even a needle to extract that. They call it a splinter. So just think about that crown of thorns that was placed upon Jesus' head. It went through his flesh. So that means it went through his skin, just like me and you, because Jesus was all power. He's still all power. But Jesus, when he died, he was in the image of man. So that means that he took the suffering upon himself, our suffering upon him. And so he knows what it is to feel hurt. He knows what it is to know pain. I mean, agony pain I'm talking about. Just pain beyond belief. And the Bible says that Jesus suffered like no other man in the history of time. There was no one that suffered like Jesus did. Do you know of anybody that went upon the cross for the sin of the world that allowed, hallelujah, the Roman soldiers to nail big, gigantic nails in his hand, in his right hand, then in his left hand, and then they placed the left foot upon the other right foot upon the other. Or you can just say place one foot upon the other. And then can you imagine them driving the stakes from the top layer of Jesus' skin to the very core of Jesus' flesh? He was flesh. We're talking about him in the flesh now. He's spirit up in heaven. But when he died, when he went to Calvary Cross, he was in flesh, just like you and I are fleshly vessels. We are flesh. We will bleed if you cut us, if you puncture us. You know, we will expel blood. If you hit us with a blunt object, we will bruise. You hit us on top of our head with an element, it can be a fatal attack. You know, it can be a fatal blow to our head. So Jesus was flesh, and he dwelled among us. And so Jesus was without sin, the Bible says, and neither was a guile found in his mouth. So Jesus knew of any sin. Jesus didn't have any sin. We were the only one, the Bible says, that was born in sin and yet shaped in iniquity. So right now we're going to go into our reading, and you can get your pens and your pads, and you can write these scriptures down for your own edification and go back to a later time at your own discretion. But we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight, and it reads this. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and 9. We're going to read that one more time. In Jesus dwells, so that's with an S, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 2 and 9. And you know, a new Christian, hallelujah, had sent an email to a website that answers questions about faith. The individual said that she struggled with the claim of other Christians that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and to God. So she says, what will happen to those who believe otherwise? And as saints of God and as pilgrims on this Christian journey, we know that these kinds of questions challenge you and I and us to examine our own views of Jesus. We know that a scripture review of Jesus and his uniqueness can help you and I and us to stand strong in our belief. That he is the only way. Jesus said he is the only way. He is the truth and he is the light. And anybody that tries to come to Jesus any other way, Jesus said, comes as a thief and a robber. And we know that Jesus is unmatched in history. His very being cries out for us to entrust yours and mine and our lives to him, Jesus Christ. He is unique in substance because we find out that he alone is both God and man. We can consult the epistle books of John 10 and 30. And it says that unique in prophecy. No other leader's life was foretold so clearly and accurate. We go into the law of Malachi 5 and 2. We find out that Jesus was unique in his mission. Jesus alone, hallelujah, came to save us from our sins. You can consult the law of Matthew 1 and 21, unique in his birth. Only Jesus was born of a virgin. Consult the law of Matthew 1 and 23, unique in availability. No one but Jesus has the power to forgive yours and mine and our sins. You can also consult the epistle law of Mark 2 and 10. We find out that Jesus, unique in existence, Jesus alone existed before the beginning of time. Consult the epistle law of John 1 and 1 through 2. We know that Jesus was unique in his position. No one else is equal with God. Consult the epistle book of Philippians 2 and 5 through 6. Jesus was unique in his reign. Only Jesus reigns forever consult the Epistle Book of Hebrews 1:8. We know that no one in history is like our God, is like Jesus, for he alone deserves our trust, hallelujah. He alone deserves, hallelujah, our loving kindness. He alone deserves our submission to his will, to his way, because he alone is the path to God. No other man can save me and you and I and us. No other name besides thee, but Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who once was crucified. We find out on this Christian journey, only one road that leads to heaven. And I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight that Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus is the truth and the light. Hallelujah. So we know that we have to come to Jesus Christ as a sinful soul, because we are sinners before we found Christ. The Bible says that we was born in sin, and he was shaped in iniquity. So we was in sin. And when we was ministered about Jesus, sometimes we was told about Jesus. Sometimes you turn on your radio dial and you found out about Jesus. Sometimes you turn on your television set and you found out about Jesus. Sometimes you read a pamphlet about Jesus. But however you come across the acknowledgement of Jesus and who he was and who he is and who he is to come, you acknowledge that you was a sinner, and you ask God to forgive you of all the sins that you had rendered in your body, and you had asked God to be your Lord and Savior and to reside and take up residence in your heart. Then we are children and heirs of Christ. We can tell others as we live out this sanctification lifestyle. We can tell others about this unique Jesus that we have found in all the world. So if you search the world over, there will be another so unique, so masterful, so grand, so omnipotent than our God Jesus. He's unique in all the world, and that is our sermon on tonight. Jesus, unique in all the world. Hallelujah. You know, it's something, you know, in this life you might find a friend, maybe male or female, that you said, I've never found a friend like this individual. So nice, so pleasant to be around, so inviting, so welcoming. Always have a good word, kind word, encouraging word. Always cheerful. Not saying that you don't have trials and tribulations, because as long as we are down here on planet Earth, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through trials and tribulations because of sin. When sin entered the world, hardship, diseases in our body, the problems that we encounter is through disobedience to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we know that the envious hearts of our unsaved, hallelujah, kinfolks, even others who knew you and who knew me and all of you that are listening on tonight, they knew you before you met God. And we know that Jesus are often reluctant to acknowledge that we have changed. Those kinfolks of ours, they don't want to give you the high five to say, yeah, you changed, cuz, you know, you're not the same person you was when I knew you, you know. You're not the same, my friend. You are changed. You're new, improved. But they want to act like you're still that same individual. But see, I come to serve you notice that when you invite Jesus into your life, then you become a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things has passed away, and behold, all things has become new. So you have put away all the worldly things that you used to do. When you sign up for salvation, you want God to be your Savior. Then you gave up the world and all the worldly things. We are in the world. Yes, we are. We live in the world. We breathe this world air. We sleep, we eat, we work, we drive, we commute. We share, we praise together, we worship together. But we are just a vapor. We are flesh. We are flesh. But when Jesus come into our life and clean us up from the miry clay and dirt and grit and grime that was upon you and I and us, he cleans us up with his cleansing power. And we are new creatures in Christ. But our relatives sometimes don't want to acknowledge that you're changed. But you don't have to take your relative word. God is the one that you have to be looking to please and to serve. So if Jesus say you save, you save. If Jesus say you feel, you feel. If Jesus say you're holy, you're holy. If Jesus say you have his salvation, then you have Jesus' salvation. You don't have to worry about what nobody else say. Because your kin people can be sometimes your worst enemy. So like I said, the folks that knew us before we met Jesus are often reluctant to acknowledge that you and I and us have changed. They would rather sentence us to everlasting sameness. So that means that they would rather say they saw no change in us and that we are one and the same. Even though we quit going to the honky-tonk, they said we're one and the same. Even though we stopped going to the Jew joint, they said we're one and the same. We don't go to the clubs anymore, they said we're one and the same. We don't go to the topless bar anymore, they say we're one and the same. We don't go to the titty bars anymore, but they say we're one and the same. We don't go to the men's G-string clubs or whatever you call it anymore. So they say we're the same. We don't use that profanity like we once did, but yet they say we're one and the same. We don't lie, swear, cheat, and steal. Those of you that had those amongst your character, you don't do those things anymore. But yet and still, your kin people say you have not changed. You are one and the same. But like I said, you tell that demon, that angel of the air, that, what they call it, the ancient demon. His name is Lucifer. He's got many names. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. He's called our adversary. He's called the devil. So he's got so many names. He's the father of lies. And he has imps. He has imps. You know, imps is just like buddies. See, just like you got buddies, the world got buddies, and the saints has buddies. The saints has buddies that will fight with you. The world has buddies that will fight with them and for them. The Bible says the world loves its own. So the devil have his little imps, his little chipmunks, his little baby kids, them unruly kids that don't mind nobody. You ever seen some kids that don't mind anybody? They don't mind their parents. They don't mind their school instructor, or if they go into college, they don't mind the instructor of the college or the university that they attend. They don't mind anybody. They don't mind law enforcement. They have to use strict measures on them. They have to knock them upside the head with a club and baton and all that kind of stuff. And even with their fists sometimes, because they are hard-hearted. They're one of them that say, you know, you ain't going to tell me what to do. But, you know, you're going to have to listen to somebody. You're going to have to obey somebody. You have to be subdued to know that there are laws in the land. There are rules and regulations. Jesus has laws and bylaws, epistical laws that we are to live by. If we are to see him face to face, if we want to go to heaven and reign with God forever and ever, we got to go by God's bylaws and his precepts. Hallelujah, what he has laid out and what he has laid forth for you and I and us on this Christian journey. But see, our kin people and our friends and our constituents, they fail to realize that God is a miracle worker in adversity. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Not even the plastic dance of circumstances can prevent, hallelujah, the discriminating grace of God from healing and transforming and making you and I and us whole, those who have believed in Christ Jesus. We find out that the mind is paralyzed by unbelief. So your family members and your friends and constituents' mind has been paralyzed by unbelief. They will never admit that the exquisite beauty of God's grace can and has and shall work powerful miracles. Those who live in unbelief sometimes develop suspicions, which ultimately become conclusive. Their conclusive cut them off from God's ability to do what seems impossible in their own lives. We find out that in the epistle law of Mark, it seemed to confirm the old saying that you can never go home again, and when you try, you encounter those whose hearts are full of anger and suspicion. We know that when Jesus went home to Nazareth, he encountered a city that was blind by the unbelief of those who saw him as a Galilean peasant. And the unlettered Nazarene, rather than as the Son of God. But thanks be to God, there was a few whose heart were open and not closed against him in anger. Through the fragrance of his grace, through the fragrance of his grace, he healed them, and he can change those around you and I and us so that they can acknowledge God's saving grace in us and in their own lives. Hallelujah. We can prayerfully pray, Lord, we thank you for the wills of providence that you turn full circle. It brings some down and it lifts others up. But most of all, Lord, we thank you that you turn the wheels. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're about to wrap this up. Hallelujah. We got a couple of more readings. And then we're going to bring you our second half or second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. We know that with the advent of televangelism, and we can view numerous of programs throughout the week. We can focus on spirituality and salvation. It would take a long time to list the different messages and the messengers trying to help us to live the abundant life. But if you and I will listen closely, we might hear the message that unquestioning truth in the messenger are given an appropriate financial gift will help one gain his spiritual and financial blessings. Other messengers may encourage you and I and us to correct our thinking to enhance our mental and our physical and emotional well-being. But we know in spite of the numbers of messages, however, we know that the simple good news is not always heard. But we don't need to go to the evangelist for the answer to the way of salvation. It's laid out for you and I and us, and it's very simple. You can go to the epistle book of John 3:16. Out of love for lost people, God sent Jesus as a human to show you and at us the kingdom of God and to live a sinless life, becoming the perfect sacrifice for our sins. If you and at us, if we believe that Jesus is God's Son, the Redeemer of the world, and our Savior, if we demonstrate our belief through turning away from our sinful ways, entrusting our lives to God's care and following God's way, then you and us, we have eternal salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I have always just included this when, you know, I love to do this, when God gave Jesus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we find out that Jesus didn't have an extra son. He didn't have a second or third, fourth, fifth son. He didn't have a nephew. He didn't have an uncle. I mean, he might have an uncle, but I'm just saying, I'm going to just say it like this in the children category. Jesus didn't have an extra son that would go our case, would go our bail, would go our bond. But Jesus had only, God had only one son, and that was Jesus. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What an awesome revelation that God loved you and I us enough to send his only all he had. You know, it's just like a parent that have only one something. You have only one daughter, only one son, only one nephew, only one niece, only one uncle, one aunt, one grandparent, only one friend, only one pair of shoes, only one outfit, only one suit, only one purse, only one hat, only one set of gloves. You take care of what you have only one set of, because that's all that you have. And you're going to take precious care with that one commodity. So Jesus sent all that he loved and adored and cared about to go to Calvary Mountain to die and pay the ransom price. He paid it in full. His blood that was shed for many. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that the cornerstone of salvation is not prosperity, correct thinking, or some abstract concept. The cornerstone of salvation is that God loves you and us. He loves us enough to give his beloved Son so that you and us will love him completely. Allowing Jesus to transform yours and mine and our lives, to guide us, to empower us. For he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. All right, we're going to read our second key scripture on tonight, and then we're going to take you on into our second half of our program. The righteousness of God is revealed through faith in Jesus Christ. That scripture reading can be found in the Epistle of Romans 3:21-22. And you know, as Christians, hallelujah, we know that one could understand the true way to view Christianity. And it's up to you and I to share salvation to all of those that we encounter, that we meet along this journey. We can share the word of God and We know that Christianity, it could be that you dislike it because it seemed too complicated for you. Maybe it seemed to you to be about rules and a big, thick book with words you don't understand. But actually, Christianity is simple. We can be made right with the Holy God through faith in Jesus. Death and the resurrection, our sins can be forgiven forever. You can consult the Epistle of Romans 3:24-28. And then 10:9-10. Check it out. It says, you'll discover why believers love Jesus, and you'll learn to love him too. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that faith is the hand that simply receives God's gift of salvation. Our theme on tonight was Jesus unique in all the world. And our key scripture coming out of the law of Colossians 2:9. So, in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and prone your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondent, God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. You can send your remittance to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. And so we're going to open the lines. We call them our studio dial-up prayer request line. We're going to open our lines right now. And so if there are anyone out there in my listening audience on tonight would like to touch and agree in faith on a petition that you have placed at the foot of God, you're welcome to call in right now. And Overseer Ward will pray, touch and pray in faith that God will bring it to pass. God will bring it to fruition in your life. Hallelujah. I just want to say this one more time. I just thank all of you that continue to make the Oship of Zion a part of your listening program. I want to thank all of my guests on tonight. First-time listeners, my colleagues, business colleagues. I want to thank our Kingdom Assembly family. I want to thank my kinship family and all of you, hallelujah, that's in attendance on tonight. God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. Hallelujah. I'm going to give it a few more minutes to see if anybody's going to call in. That number in which to call is 646-230-74. Those numbers again are 646-230-74. And so if there is not any prepositions that are needed at this time, we're going to take you over to the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion, and that is to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, because he is people-friendly. You're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you.
Walk the streets of gold, holding on to the gold. Yeah. love.